Well, good morning, Harvest Bible Church. It's really a blessing and a privilege for me to be here. I mean that with all my heart. And I'd also like to bring you a greeting from Five Stone Churches. Five Stone Churches is a church planting ministry, which this church is a supporting church of that ministry. And if you want to know what the five stones are, I'll really quickly tell them to you. The five stone churches are integrity, which proves authenticity, which leads to trust, which leads to leadership, which results in service. So those are the five stones of the five stone churches. And on behalf of Gordon Zerkowski and Brian Jones, who are also on the Elders Council with me, we greet you. And we are very thankful for this body of believers and your support of that ministry. So now, before I get going, let's just pray, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the worship. I've been so blessed personally, even just being here this morning, worshiping you, exalting the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray as we look into your word this morning, in the book of 1 John primarily, Lord, I just pray that your spirit would be at work. You would be at work in the hearts of every person here. Father, I know with a group of people that this large, there are people here that may not really know you. And I pray, Father, that you would work in their hearts this morning. And I pray that your word would be opened to them and their eyes would see what they need to hear and how they need to embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then, Father, Lord, I know many, many people here this morning love and follow Jesus Christ with all their heart. And Father, I pray that what we say, what comes from your word this morning, Father, would encourage them. And also challenge them, Father, to walk more closely with you, to become more and more like Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, it's a beautiful fall day. And maybe this afternoon you could go out and go for a walk. So you go to a park or wherever, something like that, and you're on this path. And you're walking along, just enjoying the trees and the fresh air. The fall is my favorite season. And you just look down the road a little ways, and you see a person lying in the path. And that's kind of concerning, because it's not someone trying to get a suntan. They're lying in the middle of this path. So you come up to them, and they're not moving. They're not responding. You say, hello, how you, you know, there's nothing happening. So then some anxiousness comes across you or would come across me. What's happened? Did the person have a heart attack? Did they have a stroke? What's wrong? So you, if you have any medical background at all, even the simplest thing, you could do something. You could check their vital signs. You could grab their wrist and see if you could find a heartbeat. You could look into their eyes and see if they were dilated. You could touch their body and just see if it was warm. You could do several things to determine their vital signs, and their vital signs would reveal whether they were physically dead or alive. Now, what I want to focus on this morning is what are the vital signs spiritually? Are you alive spiritually? Do you have Jesus Christ? Does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Have your sins been forgiven? There are vital signs that will help you see whether that is the reality in your life or not. So are you spiritually alive? Or are you spiritually dead? So here's a word that a lot of people get nervous about, and I do too, and the word is a test. I'm going to give you a test this morning, all right? Now, here's the test. It comes from 1 John 5:13. In 1 John 5:13, these things I have written you who believe, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, that's a very significant passage of Scripture. It kind of summarizes the whole book of 1 John. There's two key words in there that I really want to focus on as we talk about this test that we're going to take. And this test is basically, what are these things? Well, if you want to find out what these things are, you've got to go back in the book of 1 John and find out. Because 1 John chapter 5 says, I wrote these things to you in order that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to have some, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, depending on how I did today or yesterday. But no, he wants you to know it from the depth of your heart. He wants you to know, he wants you to know. You know how many times in the book of John, 1 John, that John uses the word know? Well, I wouldn't know if somebody asked me that right off the top, but 36 times. If you read the book of 1 John, you will see that he uses the word know 36 times. So do you think God wants you to know this? Yes, he wants you to know. He doesn't want you to, well, maybe. No, no. He wants you to absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know whether you are in Christ or not. Now, here's where the test comes. Here's where the vital signs come from. And I'm going to take you into another passage of Scripture just briefly, and we'll be right back in 1 John. It's 2 Corinthians 13:5. And if you have your Bible, why don't you turn to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Okay, if you have it, it says, examine yourselves. Okay, so, you know, I told you I was going to give you a test this morning, and it's really not my idea. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you indeed fail to meet the test. God wants you to know. I've said it already quite a few times. Because God said it quite a few times in the book of 1 John. 36 of them. So let's go back and let's start to take the test. Now, I've got two goals this morning. My first goal is to share and to challenge the people here this morning who may not truly know Jesus Christ today. And my hope and prayer is that you would walk out of this worship center this morning born again in Christ, because you will hear the gospel as we go through this message. I pray that God would open your eyes and he would soften your heart, and he would draw you to himself, that you would repent of your sin and cry out and ask him to save you. Because Jesus Christ is the only one, the absolute only one who can accomplish that for you. That's my first goal. My second goal, because I would realize that most of you here today, most of you are believers who have dedicated their lives to Christ and do indeed know that Christ is your Savior. So I want to encourage you as well. I want you to grow in these areas that we're going to discuss. There's seven of them. I want you to grow in Christ and be growing in Christ. Because how many of you have arrived? How many of you are all set, perfect, don't need to do any more? If you do think that, you better get yourself in that first category, because you don't know. We will spend the rest of our lives growing and becoming more and more like Jesus. And then one day we will see him face to face and we will be like him. And what a glorious day that will be. I kind of got off on this a little bit yesterday when I was talking, and it probably didn't have too much to do with the marriage and family thing, but I just know. I was talking about, you know, how people talk about the good old days. Well, I hope you've had good days. I've had really good days. But my best day is ahead of me. And your best day in Christ is ahead of you. And that's the day you die. Oh, that's not a good thought, but yes, it is. Because the day you die, that's the day you step into the presence of Jesus Christ. And that'll be your best day. And so regardless of how old you are or whatever your situation, your best day is ahead of you. The day you die, you step into the presence of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and your battle with sin will be over. It'll be over. Ecclesiastes 7:1, one of my favorite verses. Better is the day of a man's death than the day of his birth. If you know Jesus, that's true. Okay? So, those are our two goals. To share the gospel with people who don't know, because God wants you to know, and to challenge believers to continue to grow in Christ. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, we look at that verse and we say, okay, God wants us to know something, and what are these things? So let's look at the first one he wants us to know. The first one he wants us to know is from 1 John. All this is coming out of the book of 1 John. 1 John 1:8 through 10. And let's just look at that. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here's the first vital sign. If you say, well, you know, there's some bad people in the world, but I'm not one of them. I really am a pretty good guy, and I really don't have a sin problem. Maybe I'm not perfect, but who is? But I'm not a sinner. Well, don't, it's not me, it's not my call. God's word says the truth is not in him. And you are actually calling God a liar because he says you are a sinner. So the first vital sign, a true believer will very readily confess that he is or she is a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ is again the only one who can save us from our sins because of the work of him on the cross and what he accomplished for us on the cross by shedding his blood, taking our place, being our substitute, taking on the wrath of God, not because of what he's done, but because of what we've done, all of us. So a true believer will confess that he has sin. Now, that's for the potential or the person who may not know Christ. I hope you come to grips with that, because if you don't, you will be lost. Now, for the believers here, 1 John 1:9 is not a passage for unbelievers, it's a passage for believers. God wants you to be confessing, wants me to be confessing my sins day by day. You know what? I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. And that can be discouraging. Well, why are you still a sinner, Dave? Because Jesus, you're look at you, old toad. You ought to have it figured out by now. No, I don't. I struggle with it, and I continue to struggle with it, and I'll struggle with it until I meet Jesus. And you know what? I got some pretty good company, though. How about the Apostle Paul? Now, I just want to share three things with you from Paul's life and his perspective on sin. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, at the very beginning of his ministry, Paul says, I am the least of all the apostles. I am the least of all the apostles. Why did he say that? Because he had been persecuting the church. He had been putting people to death and torturing Christians. And he knew how unworthy he was apart from Christ. So then this is after Paul's a believer, though, he makes that comment. Then he says in Ephesians 3:8, he says, and this is in the middle of his ministry, he says, I'm the least of all the saints. I'm the least of all the saints. Now that includes, why? Because Paul, the older he got, the more and more he was aware of his personal sin. And at the very end of his ministry, before he was martyred because of his testimony for Jesus Christ and his bold proclamation of the gospel, at the very end, just before he was martyred, Paul said, I am the foremost of sinners. The foremost of sinners, Paul. Even Paul, the closer he got to Christ, the more and more aware of his sin he understood and was aware of. So yes, believer, continue to pray. Continue to get before the Lord, whether it's a thought, whether it's an action, whether it's something that you've done. You need to go to your Father and confess that. You need to agree that what you've done or the attitude or the perspective that you had is sinful and wrong before holy God. And you need to ask him to cleanse you on a continual basis, not for your justification, that's already taken care of, but for your ongoing relationship so that you might grow closer and closer to Jesus Christ. So there's your first vital sign. A true believer confesses that he has sin. Next one, number two. This comes from 1 John as well. They all do. From chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And it says, and by this we have come to know him. There's that word again. If we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this way we may be sure that we are in him. So, what's this vital sign? Now, if you're here this morning, and I mean, I'll follow God's word when it kind of works into my life. But other than that, my way is the best way. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I know God says about something about this and something about this, and his word says this is right and this is wrong, because the Bible is full of absolute truths. Don't ever let anybody tell you different. There is absolute truth. There are things that are absolutely right, and there are things that are absolutely wrong. If you can just simply it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm going to do what I want. I really don't have any desire to obey God. But I want to say that Jesus is a pretty good guy and he'll save me someday. No. You don't know Jesus Christ. There should be in your heart a desire to obey the Lord. To honor your Father in heaven, who he's your Father because what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, you've been adopted into his family. Now, all of us have had a father, and some of us have had great fathers, and some of us not so great, and some of them in between. I had a great father. I love my dad. My dad's been gone since he's been 54 years old, and I still get hard to talk about him, even at this time, 20-some years later. My dad loved me. My dad took care of me. My dad provided for our family. never graduated from high school. The world would not esteem him in any way, but he was a hard worker, and he loved my mom, and he took care of us. And you know, when I was young, my dad disciplined me. I got spanked a few times, and I needed it. But as time grew on, I didn't obey my dad because I was afraid of him. No, I obeyed my dad because I loved him. And I wanted to have his approval. Well, that's how it goes with Jesus. In John 14, 21, it says, a new commandment I give you, that's not the right one. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and disclose myself to him. So why do you obey, Christian? It's because you love Jesus Christ. And that love is demonstrated by how you choose to live. You choose to live for him and not for yourself. You know, there's a term, the fear of God. Sometimes we struggle with it, but I love definitions, and I got a good definition for the fear of God. How about this? And it's not the definition, but how about this? A profound respect for his holiness. A profound respect for his holiness. For the fear of God. I obey him because I love him. Okay? So that's your second vital sign. A genuine believer obeys God's word. A growing believer continues to live a life that honors the Lord. Because the more you obey, the more Jesus will disclose himself to you. And the deeper and deeper relationship you will have with him. Okay, let's look at the third one. This is in 1 John 2, 9 through 11. Okay, this is a really important one. Probably I would put an asterisk by this one. It says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and him there is no stumbling. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So here's a person. The vital sign here, is your life characterized by love or is it characterized by hatred? You know, there's people in my life, I just hate them. I hate them, I hate them, I hate them. They've been mean to me, they've done horrible things to me, and I hate them. That's not good. That's not good. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. So, we don't have time to get into that because that's a sermon in and of itself. But if you will not forgive someone who has wronged you, you don't understand what Jesus Christ did for you. Forgiveness for a believer is not an option. You must forgive. Colossians 3:13 says the same thing. It says you must forgive. Now, there's a couple of ways you can do that. There's non-believers who are going to sin against you. There's believers who are going to sin against you. The Lord tells you how to handle that. For the non-believer, you pray for them. Maybe you need to stay away from them. Do that. The believer, in Matthew 18, it tells you how to deal with that. Take care of that. Do it in God's way. And it will honor him. So, the vital sign, is my life characterized by love or is it characterized by hatred? I need to be loving and forgiving. The love of God. It's such an important thing. In John 13, 34, and 35, it says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love is so important in the life of a believer. We've been forgiven. Get a smile on your face. Where are you going? Let your life be characterized by love. And the problem is, if you don't forgive, it's like getting up in the morning, walking into your kitchen, and there's two glasses on the table. One has a glass of acid, and one has a glass of orange juice. If you won't forgive, it's like taking that drink of acid every morning, and it just churns, and you just can't, you know, this person has done something just awful to you. And I want to be very sensitive when I say that, because people do awful things to other people. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can forgive. And you can take that glass of orange juice and you can go on. God loves me, and I got something I got to do today. I got to honor him. I got to glorify him with my life. That is for the believer. Believer, grow in love. Grow in forgiveness. Move forward. Don't let the things build up in your life and you can't find your way forward anymore. So that's the third vital sign. Let's go on to the fourth one. 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Okay, here's the vital sign. If you love the world, now I'm not talking about the creation. I'm talking about the world's value system. Now here's the world's value system, and again, I got a short definition. Me, me, and me. It's all about me. Okay? That's the world's value system. Look at the billboards. If you want to be cool, if you want to have this, you got to look like this. If you want to be important in society, you got to live here. You got, you know, all this kind of stuff. All about self-gratification. All about me. If that's your life, you don't know Christ. What does Jesus say? It's all about somebody else. You before me. You before me. Isn't that what happened on the cross? You before me. But God demonstrates his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, wretched sinners, Christ went to the cross and died for us. You before me. You look at the Ten Commandments. The first four are about loving God. The last six are about loving men and other people. So there you go. It's all about others. So, Christian, grow in that area of your life. And I just to help you a little bit here, I have a little thing in the last verse of 1 John, because that's where we're focusing. It says, little children, it's kind of like just there. It doesn't seem to fit in with with what's going on. John says the last verse, 1 John 5, 21. He says, little children, stay away from idols. Okay. What's an idol? Things that are more important to you than God. But I have I love definitions. Here's another one. Here's an expanded definition of an idol. An idol. Idols are any one. Can people be idols in your life? They sure can. Can anyone or anything that we invest an imbalance of time, energy, and resources into? It is a longing, a craving, a desiring, a wanting, a must-have, only happy when, and want so badly, I am willing to disobey God. Brothers, and I'm talking to Christians now, avoid idols. Those things must be eradicated from your life. Okay? Let's go on. Number five, 1 John 2, 23. These are the things that he's talking about in 5:13. Okay, this one says, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Well, you're at work and there's a conversation going on, and some guys talking, some gals talking, whatever the situation might be, and there's just a great opportunity for you to say, but Jesus says, or I believe in Jesus. Or someone may even ask you, are you a Bible thumper? Do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I do. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. Can I tell you more? Or, I have really nothing to say. Or, no, not really. A true believer will openly confess that Jesus Christ is his or her Lord. I could never be more proud of my Savior. I would want to raise his flag at every opportunity that I can. But if you deny Christ, he will deny you. So here's for a believer now, that's the vital sign for the non-believer, whether you know Christ or not. For the believer, let me ask you a question. And this is a challenge to me as well. How do you follow Jesus Christ? How do you become a disciple of Jesus Christ without sharing your faith? How do you do that? I don't know. Jesus Christ should come out of your life. When you identify yourself as a believer, you are a witness. You just flat out are. You're either a good one or a bad one, but you're a witness. Read 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 1 through 3, or verses 1 through 3, not the whole chapter. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Paul talks about Christians being a letter. People read you. What you do, what you say, how you act, how you respond represents who Jesus Christ is. So you're a walking Bible. So, a true believer, a growing Christian, this is how I can challenge you. How many people are lost in your life that walk in front of your desk or walk by your office or walk by the place you work or live next to you who don't know Jesus? Are you going to tell them? Are you going to at least identify yourself as a follower of Christ so they can watch you? Christians, tell other people about Jesus Christ. Please, I need to do that more. You need to do that more. We need to let people know that Jesus Christ, we need to raise his flag wherever we possibly can. The Lord says, if my name be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. But we got to lift his name. And we got to honor Christ with our lives. Don't ever deny him. Do the opposite. Tell him, I can't keep my mouth shut about Jesus. I can't be around you too long and I have to tell you who Jesus is, who my Savior is, what he's done for me. Okay? Let's go on to the next vital sign. Number 6. 1 John 3, 18 and 19. I will be quicker on these because I am running out of time. I'm having so much fun though. I hope you guys are. 1 John 3, 18 and 19 says, little children, let us not love with word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. So the vital sign here is a believer will act upon what he says is true. There's so many people say, oh, I believe this and I believe that. Well, what are you doing about it? You know, a silly, I probably shouldn't say this in public, but let me just try it anyway. Please, I hope I don't get in trouble. Let's say somebody opened that door right over there. And they opened the door and they said, guys, the building is on fire. Well, that could be just a goof guy trying to disturb the service. Or Could be true. Now, if we believed that it was true, what would happen? Oh, there would be a lot of action. There would be people running to the children's areas. We would be doing all kinds of things to protect people and the building and so forth. We would act if we believed what they said. Now, if we didn't believe, we'd just sit here going on with what we're doing. See, that's how some people are in their relationship with God. Oh, yeah, I believe that. I believe. Well, even the demons believe. So in that sense, no. A true believer will act upon what he or she says is true. Okay? So we need to be people of action. When we have a hurting person, we need to try to help them. Don't just pat them on the back and say, "I'll go home and pray." Yeah, we need to pray. We need to pray. But we need to do something. We need to try to help in whatever way we can. So believers, be people of action. I love Romans 10:9. It says, "He who confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved." A believer is someone who acts upon what they say is true. Okay? Let's go on to the next one. 1 John 2:19. Okay, here it is. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it may become plain that they are not of us." Oh, did somebody lose their salvation there? No, they never had it. People don't lose their salvation. You are eternally secure in Christ if you have genuinely placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No one can take you out of God's hand. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And by the way, I and the Father are one." So you are eternally secure in Christ if you indeed have come to know Christ. But there are many, sadly, who say, "Oh yes, I prayed the prayer. I came forward. I did this. I did that. I'm a Christian." And 6 weeks, you don't see them anymore. They're gone. I'm going to go do something else. They didn't lose their salvation. They never had it. Okay? So here's the vital sign. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Think about that. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Someone comes to Christ, they confess the Lord, "I've accepted Christ." Wonderful. I am absolutely thrilled. But we'll see. We'll see. Because a true believer will endure to the end. Now, they might have some bumps in the road. They got troubles. We backslide. We blow it, and we have to get right before God. And sometimes there's seasons in our life that happens. But they will come back. And they are a child of God. And they will endure to the end. How are you going to do that as a believer? You need to be accountable. You need to be around a group of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, who will love you and who will confront you and who will challenge you and who know you. And it's a reciprocal relationship. If you're not in a small group or a discipleship group or some type of group, you know, this is a large body of people here. I don't know about Dan, but I'm sure he can't read your minds and figure out what's going on in your lives from up here. But if you're in a small group and you are being cared for and held accountable and loved and challenged, if you don't show up, somebody's going to call you. If there's some problem going on in your life, people are going to come to your aid and to your help. But if you're all by yourself, nobody will know. So if you, as a Christian, you need to be connected with your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no lone rangers. God doesn't operate that way. You can't do it in and of yourself, by yourself. That's why he says to believers in Hebrews 10:25, and says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love, to challenge one another. Don't forsake your assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." So the last vital sign is a true believer will endure. He won't quit. Oh, I'm done with that. That was interesting, but I'm on to the next thing. No, they never had Christ to start with, and they want to stay accountable. So now, please don't misunderstand me. I've given you 7 vital signs of a believer. So if you don't know Christ, those are things that reveal that. If you do know Christ, those are areas in your life that you continue to need to grow in, because none of us are there yet. And are you saved? Well, I can fool you, and you can fool me, but none of us can fool God. If you read 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are His. And God wants you to know. And it's not based on your performance. Please don't misunderstand that. It's not, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith alone, by the work of Christ on the cross. But the Lord tells us, once we have the Holy Spirit, once we have come to know Jesus as our Savior and Lord, He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It takes effort. Make it a priority to be here on Sunday. Be in a discipleship group or small group of some kind. Be serving the body of Christ. Be about doing God's work. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again I ask you, Father, if there's a man or a woman here this morning who does not know who Jesus Christ is, I pray that before they leave today, they would simply bow their head and ask, Father, I'm a sinner, and I need you, Father. I need you to save me from my sins, and I want to follow you. Lord, grant their request, and let them become born again into your family. And then, Father, for the rest of the folks here who know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that they would continue to grow in Christ-likeness. They would continue to follow you. They would continue to sacrificially set the world aside and look to you. You are the author and perfecter of life. You are preeminent. You are the first. You are the Lord. And Father, help us to live that way. Father, I pray for this church. I pray for its pastor. I pray for its elders. Bless them, Father. Use them all for your glory. This is your church, for your honor and your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.